official ceremony.
Yeah, we the next day, they only allowed a pool people inside. So I got the best pictures anyway, or in front of the palace, Buckingham Palace. I was on the Victoria Monument. I got picture coming down. All the soldiers down the mall, you know, were all straight up. The procession and the parade, the old carriage she was in, came around, got into the palace. Then they all appeared on a balcony in front, waving. Those were the pictures that we used. The parade, the procession, the balcony, and the old, you know, they had a horse and carriage, and made those. They were pictorial pictures. See, I think they ran one inside, but that tradition thing, it was one. But the real, I had a choice of doing a Victoria Monument. I thought the outside atmosphere, being in London, all the soldiers lined up at the mall and the parade and procession and the people, that and gave me more opportunity to take more pictures.
And you went back to Berlin on one occasion.
I did the Berlin Wall.
Berlin Wall.
I did that. When I went to Berlin, I talked to the Federal Republic of Germany at the time. This was in West Berlin. Told him I wanted to get a picture of the wall. Now we're talking back in the mid-60s. And he said, well, you know, I want to get everything else, what the wall looked like. So they took me along the wall. Also a spot where I could get up high. He said, oh, you could shoot here, but get your camera, shoot it, and get down so you don't bother with the people. I was able to get a picture on the wall showing all the cut glass, the wall, showing East Berlin and West Berlin, both in one shot. Then I told him I'd like to go to East Berlin. They made arrangements for me to go to East Berlin with my camera. So I went back. It was a little time going through Checkpoint Charlie because they kept checking and stuff like that. Finally I got through Checkpoint Charlie and took pictures at East Berlin. Then I came back to that. These were all arranged by the government agents, so I did a story on both East and West Berlin. I guess also by being fair and telling them what you want to do, they allowed me to do that. It was a good experience in covering.
Well, don't you think, though, Tony, as you look back on your career, that your honesty and integrity, as well as your ability as a photographer, helped immeasurably in getting you into situations and getting approval and why people wanted you to take the pictures, why they allowed you in?
See, when you're doing government things, they know of you by your reputation, what you do. It's amazing how they know it. They know your actions. For an example, when the first trip the Pope took to Poland, I was here, I wanted to go to Poland. At that time, we're still under communist rule. They weren't allowing many credentials to go to Poland. You had to apply for a visa. Some were turned down, a lot of them. So they knew you by reputation, too. Do you realize the embassy in Chicago personally delivered my passport with a visa here to Detroit and handed it to me? And says, we'd like to have you go. It's something happened to these situations that people know you. And I had good access in Poland, all the events that one covered. I had no problem in Poland. Let me tell you another thing, where it could be either the Secret Service or the Pope thing. When John Paul II made his first trip to the United States, his first trip, I covered his trip here in the United States. He went to Washington. He came to Boston first, New York, and then he went to Washington. In Washington, the press, nobody was allowed to go along inside the White House with the Pope. So I was outside with all the rest of the photojournalists, waiting, maybe get him, come out. All at once, a Secret Service agent comes to me and says, come with me. I thought I was being ejected to take out. I didn't know. They gave me the privilege of taking pictures of the Pope and President Carter in the White House. Also, when he left at the end, all the other photographers were out. Now, how this happened, I don't know. I personally think, I talked to Lee Hills about this once. I said, how did this happen? He said, well, either somebody from the Vatican recognized you, or some of the Secret Service men recognized you in the crowd and singled you out to get you. He said, that's the only way I would know this happened. But this is how this happened. Someone did recognize me because obviously they brought me in. But this goes by your reputation, your honesty in reporting, and the people know that you're sincere in covering. And that was a great accomplishment for me too.
Tony, when you started, 1946, with the
1946.
What was the status within the newspaper field, within this whole media field, of a photographer, and how did this change over the years?
So when we started, you know, that's a good question. You know, when we started, we weren't considered on the level of reporters. We were second-class citizens. We are considered none. They'd call, go upstairs, get a photographer. Go ahead, get a snapshooter. Get that. We had all kind of different names that they were calling us. And we didn't get the recognition as a reporter. The reporters were the big deals. I'll go get a guy to come with me, a photographer or something, you know. But in the mid-50s, that began to change. When we started going, being photojournalists, we started going more and covering the importance of pictures. We stressed to the fact that we build our reputation up. We didn't become second-class citizens anymore. This really happened in the late 50s, the 60s, where the word photojournalists really came in. Before, we were press photographers. Now we are photojournalists, which is the actual thing that we should be called. That's because we have to deal with. Today, we are recognized sometimes equal with reporters, or sometimes on a higher level. We are the photojournalists. They respect us very highly. We have the cars to go. If a reporter wants to come along with us, he can. But almost on equal par today. There's no second-class citizens. We are now all journalists together, and the equal status. So that's a great, great improvement. In the old days, you know, the photographer was nothing. He was considered as a drunken guy who would get him with the camera. Today, we are highly respected, and more important to a newspaper, I would say, as a photographer, because the visual impact is what makes a newspaper today. And doing that stuff, the picture, really, the content of our stuff, what we have in the paper, is very important. It's good to have a staff of 14 photographers, each one having different ideas. You want that. I may take a picture a certain way, another photographer may have a different thinking in a certain way. They all have their ideas and ways in shooting pictures. Their styles. I could recognize the style of a photographer when I looked at in the paper. I know who took the picture because I know his style, what he takes. That's in the feature category, not in the news. You could tell the way he arranges his pictures. And they're all good.
And one of the fortunate things about your 50 or 60 years of photojournalism and photography is that you have carefully preserved some of the best things that you've done.
Well, I learned that in the Navy in my early days, is that storing and keeping your stuff as you have is very important. A lot of photographers today shoot the picture, they don't care. I kept my pictures all the way through, especially the things in Detroit, how Detroit came to be. I can remember my first picture, took an aerial picture of Detroit. I still have that negative. These were important. I wanted to keep a complete documentary of all the things I've had in the city. And I kept what I covered. I won't say everything that happened in the city, but the stuff I covered, because I love to cover the events of the city of Detroit. What happened to the city, how it grew. I had different ideas at times what the city should do, but still I covered this movement and the movement as it came to the present day. And I still keep doing the same thing.
I think this is a good breaking point, Tony.
Okay.
Is it all right with you?
Yep.
Okay.
For his...
Can I sit on the light, Tony? that's okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
Anyway.
Well, today, like I said earlier, photojournalism involves many technical advances. For young photojournalists today getting into the thing, my advice is this. I think they should go to a college. It's very important. Because today they do a lot of writing, they do a lot of caption writing, and little stories that accompany photo stories. So it's good for them to have the knowledge in writing along with being a good photojournalist. We run a photo story, that's the photographer's photojournalist job, to go ahead and write something about his photo story. So writing becomes little important, very important to them. He should be knowledgeable at it. And he could get that all in a college, university. The reason why going to college today, newspapers are so far advanced in the electronic that pictures are scanned all electronically. They use just the negative. All newspapers today, I'd say 99%, all use negative color, which is easy access. The process. They could use color or black and white. These negatives now could be scanned in what we call a scanner. It goes into a computer. It comes up in color. It could be run either black and white or color. It's the photographer photojournalist's job today for him when he comes back to scan these negatives into the system. What they did before, they go to the darkroom and print them out of the enlarger. Today, that's not done. The enlargers are probably going to be obsolete in most large newspapers. They just develop the negative, come back, get into a scanner, see the picture come up on a computer, size it, change it, set it into the system. They could get a folder that would say, if you're covering a Mayor Archer, someone comes out with a series on Mayor Archer. They get back, he have, say, 6 or 8 pictures on Archer. He come back, he scan all 6 and put them all in one folder. Put Mayor Archer, the date, and by whom. All these pictures that he took would be in a system, the 6 pictures. Editor would come back, call him up to come up on the screen, 6 at one time. They could select whatever picture they want into the system. After they select that, the editor then could size them, where they're going to go and how they're going to fit into a newspaper. It could make a complete layout on the screen where they have to go in the paper. And then that goes to the page called pagination. But today, these are all taught in universities. Normally when you're hired for a newspaper, you come in today that you're knowledgeable in this electronics. You're knowledgeable in scanning. Knowledgeable on the computer. So a photographer with a college education comes to being a photojournalist, they have a 90% chance of getting a job than one that didn't go to a college and has experience, maybe worked in another paper and had experience doing it, working in a paper. But they look forward for people with a degree in photojournalism. Today, I would say every large newspaper, we do not make prints anymore, no black and white nor color. We only do that for reprints, in case one wants a print. But the reprint system now is going to be different. because we can make a print that's in a system, a color print electronically with the same quality, up to 11 by 14 size. So once you need a print made for someone, call it up in a computer, you can scan it and get a color print or a black and white print. So only time paper will be using prints is that if they want to make some for contest exhibitions where they need a large print made. But we are going to keep the color lab going, processing and color printing. Going to phase out the black and white lab entirely. With the color, we call a color processor for color prints. We now have Kodak has made that you, from a color negative inside, from color processing, you can make a black and white print. No need the black and white process anymore. A black and white print from the color chemistry could come out. So you need only one machine. So in this color lab, in the color lab, if you have a color negative made, you made a black color print from the same negative any larger, you could put the black and white paper that Kodak made through the same processing and you get a black and white print. So these are the advances coming on. Advances are coming on in transmission. Today we could transmit, carry a transmitter, which is the size of a portable typewriter or a VCR. This is a transmitter. It's got a built-in scanner. Photographers could take this on location, anywhere around. You could process your negative or use an electronic camera to a little disk, and you could transmit these pictures directly back to the newspapers from your car via cellular phone. So these are things going to be happening. They're not happening. They're happening. They're here today and is being used today. This is why it's important for a photographer, if you want to go into photojournalism, is to go to college and get a college education and stick with photojournalism. That's the key thing to their success. But going back to the thing, you need, nothing will ever change. Remain as it was at the beginning of photography is the photographer himself, his ability, his thinking, his thought, his creativity, and how to take the picture. If you're a bad photographer and you know all the electronics in the world, that image is still going to be a bad picture. You've got to be a good photographer and know your camera and know your composition, your creativity, and your thinking as well. Capturing precise moment. All this is very important in photography. So still the knowing how to do it is the key thing to success. You have good lawyers, medium lawyers, good teachers, bad teachers. They're a minority, the ones that aren't good. They're a very minority. You're going to have them also in photojournalism. I'd say you'd have 80% are going to be great photojournalists, 20% are going to be mediocre or failing photo. Just get along. So you're going to have those along all the time. So you are your own leader. The photojournalist is his own commander. It's up to him individually. No one's going to assist him when he's in the photo. No one's going to tell you how to do the things. You've got to do this all on your own. Come back, be a self-starter, and proceed in doing it if you want to be successful. Always thinking ahead. Okay. I think that takes it up to the date and knowing the electronics end.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about that in your office, last time we